Welcome to the first Kachem Chabura. Here we go. Let me make sure my mic is on. Okay. The goal here will be, what's the goal? Let's say the goal at the outset. I think it's clear that we have a very limited knowledge of this area. We sort of tune out when it gets read in the Torah. When it's for sure, when you get those parshas in Vayikra, we're gone. Maybe a few famous psukim here there that the Baal Shem Tov learned the Musar from, those we know, Eish Talmid Tukad Bo, and things like that we may know. Otherwise, zero. The reason why we don't know is because we feel maybe it doesn't relate to us, and therefore we gloss over it. My goal is to get a basic knowledge and also all the classic heavy-duty stuff on the same subject. So we'll be doing both, be two tracks running here at the same time. My goal is by the end, I know how long it'll take, the last man standing. My goal is that we get at least a basic knowledge of everything about Kachim, so that when you get to it in Shul and Shabbos, you know what it's talking about. You open up a sitter and you see it at the beginning. It finally means something. That's one goal. Goal number two is to go over some of the classic discussions that come up in Kachim. Goal number three, so there's only two, but there's a third goal. Third goal is that we have a good knowledge of the key sugyas that we need to cover in Kachim. A good knowledge. I will point to the key datum that everybody needs to know. The Maror Mekomos this week were not essential. They were not essential. They're not the ones that you need to sweat over, because this is going to be an introductory shir. Going forward, the Gemaras I'm going to give you are, I'll tell you if they're primary Gemaras or tangential. Primary means this is one of the key datum you need to know for Kachim in general. And online, you could always find the English. You can go to dafyomi.co.il, which could also be Master Torah is the audio in English, mastertorah.com, and the text in English with summaries and everything is dafyomi.co.il. Yes. What? Dafyomi.org also English?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm thinking of Rabbi Kornfeld. Rabbi Kornfeld gives you a nice point-by-point summary if you want to quickly review as well. It's very easy. Okay. Let's begin. Let's begin, Kachim. Here we go. Guys, please, make sandwiches, in honor of the Basar HaKorban, we have Fleisch, I don't know what the wine is in it, the Scotch is in honor of, but okay. Here we go. Oh, the Yayin Nesel, the Yayin Nesech, the Nesachim. All right, here we go. Let's begin. Page one. Page two, good. We're already moving a page. Here we go.
Starting that page.
Right, very good. Very good. Okay. Let's start with Zvachim Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. I'm going to give you background info. Every Gemara, Menachos, and Zvachim needs background info. You can't just jump in like you can in Brachos or somewhere else. There are two types of sin offerings. One is the Chitzona. That is the sin offering which the blood is sprinkled on the outside. Where's the little art scroll poster here? Where the blood is sprinkled on the outside altar. See this altar over here? That's the one that was outside the temple. Here's the Beis Hamik, the inside, the sanctuary, so to speak, where the Holy of Holy was, the Kodesh HaKodeshim. And outside was by the courtyard. And here was the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outer altar. Okay? Next time I'll bring you bigger pictures. This is how it looked like, the outer altar. By the way, this is not the altar. If you were to draw a picture of an altar in school, you would not add this. Everyone would, but it's wrong. That's the ramp. That's the kevesh of the altar itself. The kevesh of the altar. This is the Mizbeach itself, the square part. So in the middle, inside the sanctuary, there also was right here by this dot, this square was also over there. That was the inner altar. So now, you have two types of sin offerings. You have sin offerings that are on the outside, the chitzona, and there are sin offerings that are on the pnimius, that are on the inside. Where the korban has its blood sprinkled on the inside, it's sprinkled right against the curtain of the Holy of Holies, of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. It's sprinkled right there. We'll get all our pictures now, but they have great pictures here of all that sprinkling and everything. Okay, we'll talk about all that. Oh, what's the significance? What's the lumdus there? What's the sugyas there? Now, let's start with Zvachim. Here we go. Within the category of stuff that's in the inside, the pnimius, which within the category of the sin offerings on the inside, there are five of them. There are five of them. There's the par helem davar shel tzibur. That's when a majority of the tzibur makes an avera because of an erroneous ruling from the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin made a mistake in what they said to do. They said, this is kosher, everybody. And the majority of the people sinned. They have to bring the special par in the inside of the, on the inner one, the Mizbeach Pnimis, on the inside. Another one is the Si'irei Avodas Kochavim. That's when, the Si'irei Avodas Kochavim is when the masses make a mistake, not in a Stam Avera, but in a Avera such as Avodah Zarah. That's Avodah Zarah one. Okay, that's also in the inside. You have the Par Kohen Mashiach, when the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake due to a wrong ruling also. Number four, you have a Par V'Seir Shel Yom Kippur. You have the Yom Kippur, two of the main Yom Kippur offerings. And then you have a special Chatas, which is brought on Yom Kippur. Special Chatas. So you have five that are brought on the inside. Those are the big five on the inside. So here's the discussion in Zvachim. We'll start from the Mishnah over here. The Mishnah, five lines from the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah wants to know whether the stuff which is in the pnimis, the inner stuff, the stuff whose meat is burned and never eaten. You don't eat the stuff that's going on the inside. That's very holy stuff. You don't eat that. The stuff on the inside, whose meat is burned and not eaten, is it subject to piggle? What's piggle? Piggle's going to be massive shear, whopper shear. Piggle has made people give up on kachim in 6 minutes in. Piggle, basically, without any other detail right now, piggle is when you have in mind to offer this animal beyond the time that it's supposed to be offered by. Let's say it was supposed to be eaten by the next morning, by the daybreak, by the next morning, and you have in mind for 6 days from now. What? The Kohen has in mind that mistaken, the mistaken mindset. That's piggle. Details, forget it. That's piggle.
He just has the mindset.
Machlokas Rishon, whether he has to say it with his mouth or not. For us right now, or just mind is a kavana or dibor. For us right now, we'll leave it like the way it sounds, which is just the mind. But the majority opinion is it's got to come with the mouth. Or both. Yeah, mind and mouth. Right. Well, leave it. We'll talk about that now. Fine. So is something which is only brought on the inside, like this, one of these special sin offerings which are brought on the inside, does piggle apply to it if I think about finishing it in 5 days from now? Does piggle apply to it or not? So the first opinion says yes, piggle does apply to it. Comes Rabbi Shimon, two lines from the end of the Mishnah. It's about eight lines from the top there. Rabbi Shimon, two lines. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol she'eno al mizbeach hachitzon, whatever doesn't go on the mizbeach hachitzon, on the outer altar, like a shlamim, like a peace offering, ain chayven alav mishum pigol. There's no such thing as pigol. Anything on the inside, a pnimius, has no pigol application to it. There's no such thing as pigol. You can't possibly violate pigol on something that's going to be brought, sprinkled on the inside. A pnimius animal. Okay? That's what Reb Shimon says. Now here is why I brought this on the first day. Who cares? Here we go. Comes the Gemara. If you go now to source number two. Source number two is on page three. Source number three is on page three, the Gemara in Zvachim, Mem Dalet Amud Beis. Let's start from here. Let's start from three lines from the top. Omer Mishum Rab Yossi HaGlili. They say in the name of Rab Yossi HaGlili. Pigal Bedavar Hanase Bechutz. Page three, top source, three lines from the top. Amar Mishum Rab Yossi HaGlili. Say the name of Yossi HaGlili. Pigel B'davar HaNase B'chutz. Let's say you did pigel on something which is normally outside. Or pigel B'davar HaNase B'fnim Lo Pigel. Something, if you do pigel on something which is supposed to be on the outside, pigel. Classic rule of pigel. But if you do pigel on something which is on the inside, no pigel. That's what we just saw in the Mishnah. It's no pigel. And he clarifies as follows. What Rabbi Yossi HaGlili is coming to do is clarify what was the case of the Mishnah of something that's on the inside that's not subject to pigel. Ketzad, what's the case? Haya omed b'chutz, if the Kohen was standing on the outside and he said, I'm shechting this animal to sprinkle its blood tomorrow after the right time, lo pigel. that's not going to be pigel. Why? Because it was a machshava b'chutz, it was a thought on the outside with an animal which was supposed to be done on the inside. B'davar ha'nasa b'fnim. Okay, so that is lo pigel, that's not a pigel. Haya omed b'fnim, if he was standing inside and he said, I'm sprinkling on condition to burn the incense or to spill the remainder of the blood tomorrow, lo pigel. Why not? Because it's a machshava b'fnim b'davar ha'nasa b'chutz. It was a machshava on something from the inside on a matter that's typically done outside. You burn the incense on the outside. Okay? The Gemara is going back and forth on things that are done on the inside, things that are done on the outside. It's got to be something that's totally on the outside for it to be pigel. Okay? Keep it at that. What's the source for this? Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Here's the source. Maikra ka'asher yoram mishor. When you lift up from the shore hashlamim. When you lift up from the shore hashlamim. That's in Vayikra. That's in Vayikra Perek Dalet. Vayikra Perek Dalet. It talks about this special offering on the inside, and it compares it to. It says over here, 4:10 here. Kaasher yuram mishor zevach hashlamim vehikdir amakohen amizbeach haola. It compares having an improper thought with the korban is compared to a shlamim, a peace offering. Meaning, just like that only takes place like a shlamim, which is outside, so too an improper thought of the wrong day only takes place when it's on the outside. Again, the fact you're unclear about all these cases and what's the meaning is irrelevant. Here's the main point right now. Bottom line, bottom three lines. Amarav Nachman, Amarav Avua, Amarav, Halacha Kareb Eliezer. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar, Sha'amar Mishum Rabbi Yossi, who said in the name of Yossi. The halacha follows this whole long explanation we just had. That's the correct halacha. So Rava asks, here comes the main question. Amar Rava, Rava asks, wait a second. Did I not photocopy the next thing? The next line in Zvachim says, number four, fine.
Part of it.
Hilchasa l'meshichahu. Rava asks, why do I need to know this? Rava asks, why do I need to know who the halacha is like? Hilchasa l'meshicha. This is a halacha that doesn't apply now. This is not relevant to our lives right now. Who cares that the halacha is this way? Piggle inside, piggle outside, making me crazy with a kachim thing. Who cares? This doesn't apply now. Hilchasa l'meshicha. Hilchasa l'meshicha, they're saying. So comes Abaye. So Abaye comes along and says, Amar le Abaye. Abaye says, so let's not study all of Zvachim, all of Menachos, all of Chulin, any of it. Why don't we say that? We have them as Gemaras. Why? Darish v'kabel schar. We learn them to receive reward. That's why we're doing it. So what kind of question was this from the beginning? Why do I need to know who we paskin like? It only applies in the time of Mashiach. What do you mean? The whole Gemara is Zvachim and Menachos and Chulin and all this whole shir is only the times of Mashiach. So why do we have it to begin with? The answer is you're supposed to learn Torah and get reward. It's good to learn new Torah. What's the difference what it is? So so Rava clarifies what he was asking. Rava says, let me clarify what I was asking. Rava says, what I was asking was, one way to read Rava was, Hilchasa l'meshicha. I wasn't saying it as a question. I was saying, wow, here's a halacha that's going to be applicable in the times of the Mashiach. That's one thing he was saying. And number two, the more simple way of understanding what Rava was saying is, but why do I need a halacha l'maisa? Why do I need you to tell me halacha follows this way? I understand why I need a Gemara Zvachim. I understand why I need Gemara Menachos. I understand why I need all these things. Okay, I understand why I need all of them. I'm supposed to learn all of God's Word. It's in the Chumash, I'm supposed to learn it. I don't know about it, I'm supposed to find out about it. But why do you come to me in the Gemara and tell me, oh, halacha follows Rabbi Yossi Aglili? I don't need to know how to paskin. How to paskin is something else entirely. I don't need to know how to paskin. I need to know, teach me about what these psukim mean. Teach me about the different korbanos. So I learn and receive reward. But how to paskin? Paskin assumes I need to know what to do today.
Mashiach may come today. You have to know.
Oh, Mashiach may come today.
Mashiach,
you have to hope? Okay, that's me the Chafetz Chaim. Excellent. Chafetz Chaim. Excellent.
No.
That's exactly the Chafetz Chaim's Hakdama. Beautiful.
Plus, though, you have isn't there a scenario where you can have the deal of putting on Kabbalas, but you don't have the Yohanavi here at this point to answer the question?
It's the end of the Gemara Menachos. It says if you learn Kodashim, it's like being Makkah.
Okay. Already here, we have three different Terutzim, which are going to be the bulk of the Chafetz Chaim's Hakdama to Seder Kodashim. Excellent. Excellent. Say the question one more time. Rava was saying, I was bothered why we need a psak. The psak doesn't make a difference to our lives. I understand why I need to learn this stuff. I don't understand the chumash, so I need to learn this stuff. But to know how we paskin, it's not relevant now. She has said, the idea of, no, bottom line is because you have to hope Mashiach come any day and this stuff might be relevant. Number two, Mr. Banks, it said, which chance did you say? You said, oh yeah, whoever learns it is though you fulfilled it. Okay? And number three, Avi said that maybe the option of doing a korban now without even the end coming, maybe there's an option for korbanos. Let's see if either of those are right. Let's see if they're all right. Let's see if they make sense. So this Gemara says, Hilchasa l'mashicha. Hilchasa l'mashicha. Go back now and you have that phrase another time in Shas. You know where you have that phrase another time in Shas? Is Sanhedrin Nun Aleph Amid Beis. Sanhedrin Nun Aleph Amid Beis. That's source number 3 on page 3. Please, no, good. Here is Rav Nachman in the name of Rabba Bar Avua. This is not a key sugya to know in Kachim at all. It's actually one of the hardest sugyas in Sanhedrin. One of the hardest sugyas in Sanhedrin. Abbas Kohen with an Arusa. It's when a daughter of a Kohen sleeps with this one and they're trying to figure out whether the punishment for adultery is worse than the punishment for incest. And the Gemara goes back and forth. She slept with a relative. It's a very hard Gemara. Nun Aleph Amid Beis. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says that halacha is Ravin said in the name of Rav Yossi Bar Chanina that by a daughter of a Kohen, when she has incest, she gets burned. And when she sleeps with the father-in-law, she gets stoned. That's how the halacha is. Rav Yosef comes along and says, who cares which way the halacha is? Teach me the psukim. Teach me the Torah. Why do I need to know which way the halacha is? Hilchas al mashicha? The Gemara needs to waste time teaching me about what to do. So Abaye says his same response. So let's not learn Zvachim. Let's not learn Menachas. Let's not learn Chulin. We learn because it's important to darish v'kabel schar, to learn and receive reward. And then Rav Yosef clarified, by the way, here it's Rav Yosef, in Zvachim it was Rava. That's why a lot of the Girsas changed the Zvachim one to really be Rav Yosef. They say it can't be Rava. Fine. So Rav Yosef comes along and says, what I meant was, why do I need to know how to paskin? I'm all in favor of learning this Gemara. There's no need to tell me how to have the halacha. That's one. And number two, the second way is, I was saying, yes, it's a halacha for the Mashiach. Halacha for the Mashiach. So you see, these two sugyas have different contexts, both saying, Hilchasala Mashiacha. Why do I need to know this stuff? How to paskin on these things? And something that hasn't come up yet. Some that hasn't come up yet at all. Now we come to the question. Menachos 52b on page 2, source 5. Menachos 52b, top left. Okay, I'll give you the background. By the way, just so we're keeping track of what we learned in Kachim so far, we've actually learned two Kachim things so far. That there are two types of sin offerings, those that are brought on the inside, those that are on the outside. There are 5 on the inside. The second thing we learned is that the law of Pigel doesn't apply on things on the inside. Here comes the third background info for Kachim. Background to this sugya. Vayikra Perek Vav, if you look there in Perek Vav in the Parsha, if you're keeping track of these things, you know what you do I recommend? Which I'm doing now. I keep a chumash, which I'm going to keep up with me when I sit there. And as I go through the sugyas, I'm going to mark off in the chumash the sugya we do. What was it about? So that when you get to these psukim in the Torah, you'll now understand what's going on and why we need that pasuk there and what it comes to teach us. It'll mean a little bit more. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that, Menachos, the background is that in Vayikra Perek Vav, it tells us that Aaron and all the Kohanim, his sons, all the Kohanim, have to offer a special korban on the day that they're inaugurated. On the day that they're inaugurated, they bring a Asiris HaEfo, 1/10 of an Efo. It should be a fine flour, it's a mincha offering. Chavitin, the pans. They bring a special offering on that day. Okay? Number two, we also learn that the Kohen brings it, two things we learn. Kohen brings this special pan refried offering on the day that he's inaugurated, and the Kohen Gadol brings it twice. He brings it the day he's inaugurated and every single day that he's as a Kohen Gadol. He brings it in two sets of time frames. The day that he's inaugurated and the rest of his stint as a Kohen Gadol. That's in the Pesukim in the Torah. Who remembered that ever coming up in the Pesukim? I never noticed it once, though. Until you learned the Gemara, you never remember the Chumash, the Pesukim at all, unfortunately. So these are the two rules. When do you bring this special, this machavas, this pan offering? The Kohen Gadol brings it on the day he's inaugurated and the rest of his life as a Kohen Gadol. And the regular Kohen brings it on the day he's inaugurated into the base of Mikdash, and that's it. That's the only time he actually brings it. Okay? That's the only time he actually brings it. Good. These are the kind of questions we need to ask so we don't fool ourselves with this info. Perek Vav, Pasuk, whose wedding was this? Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Zek Korban Aaron Ubanav. This is the offering of Aaron and his kids. Asher Yakrivu La Hashem. They offer to God, B'yom Himashech Oso, on the day when they're initiated into office. Asiris Ha'efo, a tenth of an Efo, a fine flour, Tamid, perpetually. Mechitzasa Baboker, they bring half of it in the morning. Umechitzasa Ba'erev, and half of it in the evening. They bring half in the morning, half in the evening. How do you make it? It's important too. Al Machavas B'shemen Tas, it should be poured on a pan of oil. And Murkevis to Vienna, it should be, you boil it to a point where it becomes soft. And then Tufine, what's Tufine? Tufine means over and over and over to food. You break it over, you bake it over and over. You fry it, you deep pan. You use every single way you can get it cooked. Over and over, minchas piten into and then broken pieces. Takriv reach nechok Hashem. Then should be offered as a beautiful smelling thing to Hashem. These are psukim in the Torah. Talks about the day of inauguration for the priest. What he would bring on that day. A special refried, deep fry, like grit offering over here on that day on the machlas. Okay. Fine. That's the background for Menachos.
So what does it say? Aaron every day.
He's going and just on the inauguration. The kids just on the inauguration. Another Kohen just on the inauguration. Kohen Gadol on the on what's called Kohen Gadol on every what's called. You, how do we know the Kohen does it every day? Vakohen Hamashiach Tachtav Mibanav Yasose Chok Olam LaHashem Kalitach. It tells you keep doing it every day. These are the psukim that tell you to do it. Now. What do we do with that? Well, who cares? Okay. The Gemara tries now to pilpul back and forth in Menachos. Tries to pilpul. The Kohen who's doing it every day, since he's doing it every day, since he gives half the amount of flour, does he also give half the amount of the frankincense? Not for now. Irrelevant. The Gemara goes back and forth, comes to a conclusion, and tells you what the halacha is. Tells you what the halacha is. Comes Tosfos in Zvachim Mem Hei Amin Aleph, that's source 4, and says, hold on a second. That's bottom right corner, Tosfos Zvachim Mem Hei. Hold on a second. Hilchasal Meshicha. We asked this question in Sanhedrin that we saw already with the killing of the woman for sleeping incest with the father-in-law and everyone. And then we ask it in Zvachim, which was the first Gemara we saw. But he asks, wait a second. What in the world happened? How come we never asked it? How come we never cared about it in Menachos? How come we didn't? How come Rava or Rav Yosef, whoever was the one saying it, how come he didn't wake up over there? How come the Gemara didn't wake up and say, why do we need to know how to paskin by this pan thing, the deep fried pan? Hilchas al Meshicha? Why didn't they ask the same question over there? Why did they only ask it in Zvachim and they only asked it in Sanhedrin? Meaning, there's plenty of Gemaras which are trying to figure out a psak on something that's not happening right now. That's not happening. Why do we need to know that? So why didn't it ask that? Why didn't the Gemara ask that? Why didn't the Gemara ask it? So that's his question. And he gives you two answers. He brings two answers in this Tosfos. Answer number one. What you see from the fact that the Gemara did not ask it in Menachos, I'm going to teach you something about studying Gemara. There's an underlying voice in the Gemara. There's a narrator, which we forget about. The narrator, when reading the Gemara, is called the Stama de Shas. Meaning, we think of a Gemara as just a bunch of opinions. But if you really look carefully, you realize it's somebody talking and then presenting you like an organized table different opinions. But they're still the voice and the opinion of the person who's talking. You got to figure that out without the Gemara telling you. You could figure it out by the way he quotes people, when he quotes people, when he chooses not to quote people. There's whole Rishonim who spend all their time just in figuring out what does the Stama of Shas feel. Tosfos does it all the time. What's the Stama of Shas saying? Meaning, what's the, I don't know the way to say it in English, what's the editor's, what's the editor's voice? What's the, right, the editor, what's the editor saying over here? So what Tosfos says as an answer is, this question didn't bother the editor. This question bothered Rava. This was Rava's issue. The voice of the person writing the Gemara, he didn't care. This wasn't a question to him. Of course you figure out what the bottom line halacha is. Come kochim, come zroim, come brachos, whatever it is. For him, it didn't bother him. So the reason it's in the other Gemaras, because that's only when Rava happened to make a point over here, Rava happened to make a point over there. But that the Gemara should mention it every time, it didn't bother the Gemara. This question wasn't the problem for the Gemara. They were fine with it. They never bothered with it. So that's answer number one. It's a very Yesodistic answer. It's used a lot by Tosfos. That's the voice of the Stama Deshas. The Stama Deshas didn't care. It wasn't bothered by it. The second answer is the answer of Rabbeinu Chaim. Who is this Rabbeinu Chaim? Tosfos quotes him every so often. The famous Rabbeinu Chaim's opinion is a Tosfos at the end of Ksuvus, the famous Eretz Yisrael Gemaras. Rabbeinu Chaim's opinion in Tosfos at the end of Ksuvus is that nowadays there's no obligation to go to Israel. That's the famous opinion of Rabbeinu Chaim. Of Reb Chaim, quoted in Tosfos. Okay, he scattered around Tosfos' opinion. Some of them are more famous than others. So he quotes the answer over here of Rabbeinu Chaim, who says what? What's the common denominator between Zvachim and Menach and the Sanhedrin that's not here? The case of Zvachim was the case of the pigle, the case of or bringing an offering for a sin. The case in Sanhedrin was a woman who sleeps with the uncle, with the father-in-law. What's the case over here in Menachos? The case of Menachos is Disneyland. This is a happy time. This is inauguration of a Kohen Gadol. This is inauguration every day of a Kohen. They didn't do anything wrong. Over there, by the case of Sanhedrin and by the case of Zvachim, was somebody made a mistake. Somebody was a bad boy and had to bring a sin offering, and someone was a woman who was inappropriate and slept with a father-in-law. Those are people who are sinners. So what? Rabbeinu Chaim says a beautiful answer. There Rava was bothered. Why do I need to know a halacha, a hilchas ala mashicha, something in the future, when in the future, everyone's going to be tzaddikim? Everyone's going to be tzaddikim in the future, right? The Tanakh tells us our hearts will be circumcised at the end of days. There'll be no need for making mistakes. There'll be no wrongdoing, no iniquity among the Jewish people. So Rabbeinu Chaim says, that's why the Gemara wondered. Hilchas al Mashiach, what are you telling? What do I need this for? It was rhetorical. What do I need this for? It'll never happen again. You want to tell me we need to know for the future? Beis HaMikdash might be rebuilt any day? So what? When that happens, we're going to be tzaddikim. And we're not going to mess up. This Gemara doesn't work according to everyone. Doesn't work. Excellent. Doesn't work according to everyone. And according to, but explains beautifully, Menachos, which is just the process of the Kohen Gadol every day in the Kohen. That's a nice, beautiful thing. I need to know what to do. Beis HaMikdash could be built today. We need, maybe nowadays we have the possibility of bringing it. I need to know. It's a beautiful answer from the second answer of Tosfos.
What does he mean when he says, the what do you mean by two? There's two Mashiach.
Were you reading? Here, the lo parach hilchas, and how come there they don't ask hilchas ul mashicha? Ela hecha deika tarti. You need two conditions for the Gemara to ask. Hey, why do we need this halacha? You need two conditions. Vegam osa iser deleika nafkus halacha. One, that there's an iser, and also that there's no practical ramification nowadays. You need two criteria. Two criteria. Okay, that's Tosfos's two answers. Somebody got an idea in their head that, you know what? What are we Jews waiting for? Let's go and bring our offerings now on the Har HaBayis. Who was the leader of that? That was the Binyan Sion, Rav Etlinger. The Binyan Sion said, why are we waiting? we should be bringing our offerings nowadays. And he didn't realize there's a mosque sitting there when he said it. He didn't realize it's going to take a lot more than just going there with an animal in your hands. But in theory, it was a great idea. And this began a whole discussion, which possibly might be important to go through in our Kachem series, back and forth with the Chasam Sofer, with the No Debi Yehuda. Everybody jumped into the bandwagon. Can we build a base of Mikdash nowadays, or can we at least offer some of the animals nowadays? And they're going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Okay. Why am I telling you this if we're not going to do a shiur in it right now? The reason being is because based on that, we now have to change the reading of the Gemara. We now have to re-understand the reading of the Gemara. Let's say you understand, like Rav Etlinger, that you can bring korbanos nowadays. He wanted to argue, he argued vehemently that you can. And he went through it in detail, that you can do it, and how, and here are the ramifications. This is how we could do it. Let's say you assume that he's right. How are you going to read this Gemara now? What's the question? Hilchas al-Mashicha? No. According to Rav Etlinger, it's all relevant right now. Right? This is obvious point. It's relevant right now. What was the question, Hilchas al-Mashicha? You could do it. You could do it. So how do you read the Tosfos that way? How do you read the Tosfos that way? I mean the Gemara that way. How do you read the Gemara?
It's actually a tougher question with the other cases.
What?
It's actually a tougher question with the other cases, Sanhedrin.
What do you mean?
Because what about reestablishing Sanhedrin and establishing
Okay, good. So Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky. You know where Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky is? Actually, you have a bio on it or something?
Kesher.
Right, Kesher Chaim, the famous book on Avelos that's used. And he also wrote, he was very into the Zmanim. A lot of the times we use for different Zmanim came from Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky. Well, he was very famous in the international dateline, the Kava Tarich, a very major figure in Eretz Yisrael as far as a posek. He says it can't be that the questioner was assuming like the Binyan Siyan. It can't be. Because what's the only other place he uses it? Is Sanhedrin. For sure you can't do that now. No one's running. No one's offering to establish a Beis Din now with the Dalet Misas Beis Din. No one's thinking about doing that. That for sure you can't do. So this won't even fit with Rav Etlinger. This won't fit in any way with Rav Etlinger whatsoever. You have to make it work. Again, it's comparing it to the Sanhedrin. How is it now going to work if you're going to compare it to Sanhedrin? Yeah.
What about Rav Etlinger, when he was talking about doing a Mizbeach and a Pnimis, or only in the Chitzonis? Maybe he was talking about only doing the one on the outside. The one on the outside, we have... That's what he was asking, Hilchas al-Mashicha. Don't ask me about this now. Ask me about the one that's possibly Shayach today.
Very good. The Mizbeach HaChitzon, so much better than marijuana share. The Mizbeach HaChitzon is an area that's a possibility nowadays. But Pnim, the inside one, that's not an option nowadays. For sure not. That needs a whole base of Migdash. So even according to Rav Etlinger, there is a nice way to finesse the first Gemara. You still have a kasha on the Mises Beis Din, but at least you could defend the reading of the first Gemara in Zvachim quite nicely, because his question was not on Mizbechos. His question was on, why do you have to tell me about Halacha on the inside? Halacha on the inside won't apply nowadays. Beautiful. Beautiful, Avi.
I don't understand why they're not for me. We don't have the Mizbeach Chitzon either.
Chitzon is an option to rebuild. Rav Etlinger entertains the option of a Chitzon without the Mizbeach. Without Mizbeach, you could build like a Bama. We call it a Bama. Heter Bamas, we call it Mizbeach Chitzon. But that's what he's saying. We could build an outside one. The inside one, the whole point of the inside one, what's the point of the inside one? The point of the inside one is really just about sprinkling it towards the parochas of the Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies. That's the point of the inside one, because you could take from it and sprinkle there. There's a whole separate machlokas whether you actually need to reach it or just go in that direction. What's the purpose of all this, by the way? That's why you got to get Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch gives beautiful explanations of the symbolism of throwing this way, of why the coin faces this way. All this stuff is in Rav Hirsch. I mean, I'll try to throw maybe in the blogs also as we do it to give that other insight. But what time is it? How much time is it?
9:10.
Okay, good. Perfect time. Now, so that's what we understand. It. Just to see quickly, does this work with the Rambam? Look at the Rambam in Source 6, page 2. Where he says, Hamelech HaMashiach Atid la'amod ulahachzir malchus David leyoshna lemem shel rishona. The Melech HaMashiach is going to come and restore the kingdom of David as it was in days of yore. Ubona hamikdash u'mekabit nidachei Yisrael. He's going to build the base of Mikdash and gather those that have been dispersed. By the way, Uziel, the second Sephardic chief rabbi of Israel, quoted this line of the Rambam when the whole issue came up of whether to accept the Bnei Yisrael. Remember the ones from India, the Jews who were lost all those years in India. So there were people saying they're not Jews, and Rav Uziel said this is a time of kibbutz galius, this is a time of bona mikdash mekabetz nidchei Yisrael. He quoted the Rambam. He said this is a time, we shouldn't be more machmer on people coming back to Eretz Yisrael than we actually strictly need to be. Don't be more machmer. And he also said a famous line there. Rav Uziel said the reason why these Jews have such a problem with these Indians coming to Israel is because their skin pigmentation looks different than ours. And he says, in our history, we never judge people by the color of their pigmentation as to whether they're Jewish or not. That is not a factor. Doesn't factor into Judaism whatsoever. Okay, so the Rambam says, and what's going to happen is, after Melech Mashiach comes, Chozrin kol ha-mishpatim yom ha-shimekodim, and makrivin korbanos. So according to the order of the Rambam, it sounds like first the Malchus Beis David has to come back, and then you could finally offer the offerings, which would then pose a problem to the answer of Rav Etlinger. Rav Etlinger was asked this by the Chasam Sofer. He said, what do you do with this Rambam? Rav Etlinger responded by saying, what the Rambam is telling you is just how the whole thing is going to work when the Melech Mashiach comes. They're going to reestablish all the formal korbanos. Wasn't trying to tell you there's a prohibition. It was telling you the process of how it's all going to go down and what's going to happen. He's just giving you a vision of what's going to happen here. Not that it's usher actually to offer anything right now, to make a mizbeach and offer anything right now. That he wasn't telling you at all. Okay. That's a hesber of the Gemara. We saw a couple ways to read those lines. There are more ways to read those lines. If you look at the Rishonim Rashi and you look at the Tosfos, you could read those same lines. Hilchas al Mashicha, you could figure out different ways to read it. But I was just giving you a couple ways that you might not have seen from inside or on the side itself on how to read those words inside about why we study Kachim. Why we study Kachim. So I want to show you something. Take this to a more hashkafic level. Why waste our time with Kachim? Why waste our time with Kachim? So I give you first over here. This is from Rabbi Nachman of Breslov. This is from his student, Rabbi Nassan of Breslov. Everybody knows about the movement that's growing. The two movements that are growing without a Rebbe are Breslov and Lubavitch. Both don't have their Rebbe and they're growing bigger than ever before. They used to have one. And they're both growing without a Rebbe. They're both growing very significantly without a Rebbe. So Breslov is now republishing all the Svarim. You have beautiful New Agey translations. And this, I think, one of the best works that ever came out from Breslov. And really something that's they haven't got to yet because it's so big. It's 8 volumes. That's why they haven't got to it yet. You never see it quoted too much when you go to these internet and this and that. You don't see it quoted. But it's the Likutei Halachos. What's the Likutei Halachos? It's Rabbi Nachman, it's Rabbi Nassan, the student of Rabbi Nachman, wrote up a commentary on the entire Shulchan Aruch as though Rabbi Nachman was writing a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. And it's beautiful. We should be teaching this because we all study the Shulchan Aruch and then so many people feel afterwards, but where is what's the meaning behind all this? So those who don't get involved in this stuff say the meaning is the halacha and everything, but to explain it, especially if you speak with people who aren't as religious, this is a beautiful way to explain all the different halachas in the Shulchan Aruch. It's an amazing work. It's 8 volumes. I just got it this year. Chanukah. Now, this is from the opening piece in Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, and it's on the first halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. Anybody know what the first halacha is in the Shulchan Aruch? Right? A person should wake up in the morning, Yisgaber Ka'ari, should wake up like a lion in the morning. What? Shavisi Hashem Le'Nisam. Should always be in front of you at all times. That's the opening halakha of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah is the Shavisi. That's the opening halakha of the Shulchan Aruch. He has such a beautiful piece. I don't know why it's never quoted anywhere. 8 pages on that halakha. 8 pages, such a beautiful piece. where he goes through what are we waking up in the morning like a lion? What's this about? Where he talks about the morning is the time where Hashem has given you another shot to go at, to give it one more try. You might have failed yesterday, you might have been a nobody yesterday, but today you have another shot. Wake up again. And that's Shavisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid. I put God in front of me to realize that God didn't leave me behind. Yesterday I might have been lousy, but he's here to fight with me another day. It's a beautiful, beautiful piece. I got chills the whole way through. Now, I took out just a sample of it where he explains the korbanos part of davening. Since I read this, I've been doing korbanos every day. I used to try every so often, not now because of it, I do korbanos every day. What does he say about it? Look at what I've underlined. Fa'al yedei zeh shemisgaber lihis orer mishnaso al yedei anekudas tovas. You wake yourself up in the morning. How do you get yourself up out of the bed? You find the good in you. You find that one last piece of good in you that's left. Everybody's got that good in them. Some reason to get up and why the world needs you. That's why people with depression can't get up in the morning. See, they stay in bed. Why does depression mean you got to stay in bed all day? Because they find no reason to get up. I contribute nothing. Al yedei zeh ikar tikun atfila. That's the ikar tikun of what tefillah does. Only when you're zocha to find within yourself the beautiful and good points. Azamra, right? That's one of the names of the English books, Rabbi Nachman. Azamra. I'll sing out to Hashem in the morning. Omrim, you start in tefillah by saying the korbanos, the animal offerings, and the incense. What's that about? That's bechinas berurin. What's the purpose of korbanos? Saying korbanos. The purpose is ikur bechinas hakorban is lahalos mebehema laadam. You're offering to God the animal part of you. God, I'm getting rid of the animal part of me, the part of me that has sinned, the part of me that's weak, the part of me that's baseful. That's why it's there in the morning davening. What's the morning about? The morning, the way to get out of bed is to find the good in you. How do you find the good in you? Throw up the junk. Get rid of the bad. Release those shackles that are weighing you down. That's what korbanos is all about. You're taking the korbanos that you're taking the korban, the animal, and you're putting your animalistic, your sins, you're putting all of that onto the animal and sending it up. It's gone. That's the way to begin the day. Underlines the next side. That's what it means in the Menachos Gemara, Menachos Kuf Yud. Kol haosek b'Torah, whoever learns Torah, ole ki'ilu, the parsha of the korban ole in the morning. Ki'ilu hikriv ole. It's as though you brought an ole. Why? Because the tikkun of the korbanos was really with the mouth. Meaning he's saying like this, Rabbi Nachman. You want to tell me we have no korbanos nowadays? What have I got to read about it in the davening? What have I got to learn about it? Because the beauty of the korbanos is it teaches me how to get rid of the junk. Teaches me how to push away the junk that's holding me down. That's what a korban is. It's offering to God the animal parts of myself and raising that up. That's what a korban is. And finding an akuda tova. So why learn kachim? One, as Rabbi Nachman says. To be able to mevarer, to clear away and find the nekuda tova in each of us. A simpler reason is the Gemara Menachos that he quotes here. The Gemara Menachos can be found on do I have it here? Yeah, bottom of page 3, bottom page 2, it's source number 7. This is a famous Gemara, and he just quoted it. Why does it say, the last three lines of the Gemara there, why does it say, my dechtiv zot Torah sachatas? Why does it say in the Torah, and this is the Torah of chatas, or and this is the Torah of the guilt offering? It's teaching you, kol ha'osek b'toras chatas, it's as though you brought the offering itself. Meaning the point being over here, this is the point. The point being is that nowadays we don't have the ability to offer these animals. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We needed these offerings. These offerings helped us atone. How are you going to do that nowadays? You're going to do that by studying it. By studying it, you're able to simulate the process of bringing the korbanos. Where do I have that? If someone took away my lulav, I could still bring the lulav by reading about the lulav? No, it's specifically by korban. Because the Torah says, Torah sachatas, Torah sa'ola. It's more about the words than it is the act itself. It's more about what? Neshama Parm Sfasenu. That it's there, our lips are there. The davening was established since we don't have the offerings nowadays. So by studying about it, it's as though we brought it itself. It's as though we brought the animal itself.
Just to be clear, what is the actual benefit of the action itself?
Good.
I mean, aside from the first time I heard what you just said, we're taking the animalistic out of ourselves.
Good. Excellent. It depends on, and we're going to analyze, but it depends on which animal, it depends on which offering, and it depends on why you needed to do it. For example, the word korban, right? Korban, so Rav Samson Rafal Hirsch said, I hate when people translate it as a slaughtering, or a slaughtering, or he didn't even like offering. He said it's not an offering. Look at the word. Hakrava. It comes from come close. God gave us a means by which we could achieve greater proximity in this world. And that is, he says, of watching the consumption of the animal going up to God. Because it's the only way we're able to envision ourselves arising, because we can't burn ourselves and put ourselves there, but it's through the animal itself we could envision this process. And he applies it throughout the whole process. He says, Hakrava Korban. Korbanos is from Hakrev. It's from coming close. It should be called the coming close process. That's what the whole offering is. But each Korban has its own entity and its own breakdown. Okay. Now we turn to one of the most famous pieces from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim goes through his introduction to his commentary on Kachim. It's a masterpiece, and I gave it to you in the back of the packet. I'll break it down for you. Basically, right there, that's the second page of it, and I think before it on page 4 is the first page of it, on the bottom. I started on the bottom. Oh, no, it's the Rambam I gave you.
Yeah.
I gave you the Rambam, Hakdamas L'Rambam Seder Kachim. Actually, Zevi told me to look at that one, and that's going to play a role. That's going to play a role next week. I'll put in the blog. I'll email you the actual Hakdama of the Chafetz Chaim. But I summarized it for you. There are six main reasons, six main points that come out of this Chafetz Chaim. What time is it?
9:22.
Perfect. Here we go. Value number one of studying Kachim. We've seen already two. We've seen Rabbi Nachman's idea of you know, weeding away the bad from within us, the birur. Reason number two was the Gemara Menachos. It's as though you brought it yourself. And here comes the Chafetz Chaim. Number one, he says it's as though you brought it yourself. That's just a straight quote of the Gemara as we just saw Menachos. Number two, here's a key one. And this is why I think this Chabura is so valuable. No matter how long it lasts, this Chabura is so valuable. Limud ha'inyonim she'enam nogim bizmanazeh. I can't believe I'm strong. Limud ha'inyonim she'enam nogim bizmanazeh lamaisa. Learning things which aren't nogeya nowadays, actually lamaisa, like Seder Zroim and Seder Taharos. Right, Zroim is all about the agriculture and the crops, and Seder Taharos, which is all about going to the mikvah and tuma and tahara. Gam zeh halimud hu chashuv me'od. God loves our study of this stuff. Why? Shemara shechaviv alav divrei Hashem Yisbarach. We're showing to God that this stuff is precious to us. Why? Because nobody else is doing it. Nobody else is doing it. We're the only guys sitting here, certainly in all of Manhattan, sitting and studying Kachim. It shows that we're not just studying the fancy stuff. We're showing to God we have such a love for this Torah. This is the stuff we're doing it from. Another reason he said, this is a very valuable reason. As the generations go on, more and more people, less and less people, will have any knowledge of the depths of Kachim. And we'll have to rely on ancient Svarim, but to turn to people who actually know the material Kachim is going to get smaller and smaller. And what happens when all of a sudden, one fine day, the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and God says, give me my Kachim army, and we look around and everyone knows how to paskin on Shilas of Brachos and Shilas of interest and all that stuff, but nobody knows how to paskin at all on Kachim, then we're in trouble. Then we're in trouble. By the way, there's a Chashuv Kohen in the old city, Rav Katz. There's a famous picture of a cat standing in the snow. I don't know if anybody's ever seen him. He learns sometimes in the base medrash of Yeshiva HaKotel. So Rav Nevinsal, who was one of the main students of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Nevinsal told Rav Katz he's forbidden to leave Yerushalayim. Rest of his life, he can't leave. He considers him the holiest Kohen that he knows. He considers him to be very important that he stays on call 24/7 for when the Mashiach is going to come. That's Hilcha Sola Mashiach. That's Hilcha Mashiach. Sticking around, the Kohen is there. So now, another reason. So that's one. Another reason. Another reason is because the people who know it is dwindling. It's dwindling. Next, we're the ones sustaining, keeping it alive. Next, and by the way, who else is keeping it alive? There's the Yeshiva Ateres Kohanim in Yerushalayim, in the old city, in the Arab quarter, the Muslim quarter. They also spend their whole day learning this stuff. And Brisk, the real heavy-duty Brisk, they learn just this stuff also. By the way, that's to show you that some of the heaviest lumdus and hair-splitting stuff is going to be here in this topic. Other reason Chafetz Chaim says, it's a beautiful thing, he says if you go into the next world We all go in trying to come as a complete Sefer Torah. He says you're going to get up there and pieces of your clothes are going to be missing. You're going to get up and I'm missing the pants. Something's off. I'm missing something. Chafetz Chaim says that's mamish what it's like. We're going to get there before God and we have a full outfit made up of brachos, made up of of laws of Hilchos Avelos, whatever it is, and one of those parts of our clothes is going to be the laws. It's a piece of the Torah. That's going to be one of the parts. And if we're missing that, something is missing. Another reason, he says, is simply one of the questions you're asked when you get up there. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Gemara Shabbos. What's one of the big questions they ask you when you get there? Tzipisa liYeshua. Did you long for the redemption? What's one of the signs you long for the redemption? You make yourself crazy and you come out on a Wednesday night to learn about Kachem. Tzipisa liYeshua. Did you do? What do you mean you long for the redemption? What'd you do about it? Did you learn the Inyanim? Did you care about it? Did you spend any time thinking about it? And the other reason, this one I love, this one I think is a great reason, Chafetz Chaim says, unlike all the other Siddurim of Shas, what's unique about Kachim, the sources of it cover the most parts of Torah. What does that mean? If you're learning Seder Zrayim about agriculture, how many psukim in the Torah actually cover that topic? I don't know, 25? I don't know, I didn't count, but somewhere around there. Any Seder you learn has only a limited amount of psukim that are the source for it in the Torah. When you learn Kachim, 8 to 10 entire parshios form the basis of Kachim. So what's the purpose of Gemara? The purpose of Gemara is to clarify the psukim in the Torah. You want to be serious about clarifying the psukim in the Torah? You learn Kachim. Because the bulk of the sources of Kachim spans 8 to 10 parshias in the Torah itself. That's why you need to learn Kachim. I think it's a very practical reason why to learn Kachim. Okay? We stop there. That's a basic introduction of why Kachim, the concept of Hilchos HaMashiach. We walked away with 3 or 4 other just little halachas in Kachim. But next week we're going to jump, next week I'll call our first year. That's when we jump into Kachim itself, with the sugyas in Kachim itself. Okay? We'll begin next Wednesday night. Please take some sandwiches.